First Baptist Church of Redmond, March 5th, 2023, John chapter 16. Listen to Jesus.
Please rise and join me in reading John 16:4. But these things I have spoken to you, so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. However, I did not say these things to you at the beginning, because I was with you. You may be seated.
The sermon's title is Listen to Jesus, from the first four verses of John chapter 16. Gordon Brownell's Symbols of the Holy Spirit tells about the great Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen, first to discover the magnetic meridian of the North Pole and to discover the South Pole. He was the first. One of his trips, Amundsen took a homing pigeon with him when he had finally reached the top of the world, the magnetic North Pole. He opened the bird cage and set the dove free. Why did he do it? Imagine the delight of Amundsen's wife back in Norway when she looked up from the doorway of her home and saw a pigeon circling in the sky above. No doubt she exclaimed, "He's alive, my husband is alive." So it was when Jesus ascended, he was gone, but his disciples clung to the promise to send them the Holy Spirit. What joy then when the dove-like Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost. The disciples had with them the continual reminder that Jesus was alive and victorious at the right hand of the Father. This continues to be the Holy Spirit's message. These things have I spoken to you, that you will not be led to sin. These things pertaining to the hatred which the disciples would experience from the side of the world, Jesus has spoken to them in order to forewarn his friends. The previous chapter, chapter 15, discussed the hatred that would be from the world because they believed in Jesus. That meant that they had a different set of values, different set of experiences, and they were different, and the world hates people who are different. If he had not made these predictions, they might have been caught unawares. They would be more likely to sin. In the midst of the fierce persecution, they would have been disappointed with their Lord. They would have begun to wonder whether it was really true that the reins of the universe was in his hands. They would have said, "We had expected so much from him, but we received so little." Just as happens when a bird gets caught in a snare. That's what the word translated, be led into sin. It's scandal on scandal. It's an animal that gets caught in a trap. Just as happens when a bird gets caught in a snare, it had expected a delicious morsel from the trap, but has become thoroughly disillusioned because it is suffering. In order to prevent such grievous disappointment, which would tend to undermine their faith, the Lord told them all these things ahead of their occurrence. They will know that not only the treachery of Judas and the departure of Jesus also, but also the hatred of the world. It was included in God's plan for our own progress in their salvation. They will ban you from the synagogue, yet an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering a service to God. The fierce hatred which the hostile Jewish leaders would focus upon the disciples would reveal itself in the expulsions from the synagogue. The followers of Jesus would be excommunicated from the religious and social life of Israel. They would be cut off with the hopes and prerogatives of the Jews. They would be viewed by their former friends as worse than pagans. They would lose their jobs, would be exiled with their families, and would even lose the privilege of honorable burial. By the way, this happened to the Christians in the past in Romania. If you weren't a part of the Orthodox Church, but trusted in Jesus and formed a Baptist church or an evangelical church, the church ground that was used for burial was technically under the control of the Orthodox Church. Thus, you couldn't be buried if you're not a member of the Orthodox Church in Romania. It's not true anymore, but if the local priest wanted to spite the Baptists or other Christian evangelicals who were not a member of the Orthodox Church, they would have to bury them at home. Worse than even, they would actually be killed. An hour can be understood as the time was coming when men would regard the putting to death of a Christian to be a good work, a deed by means of which, quote, he is offering a service to God. I'm paraphrasing to give the meaning. Have we not been taught from the days of our childhood that there is only one true God and that we must worship him alone? Now these followers of Jesus claim that he too is God. This is blasphemy and must be punished with death. When he immediately thinks of the persecutor Paul, who subsequently testified, "So I thought to myself that I had to act in strong opposition to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." That's what Acts 26:9 says. And 26:10 follows, "And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when he put to death, I cast my vote against them." Verse 3, "These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me." In other words, the hostile Jews have created their own God. The true God as revealed in Jesus Christ, they did not serve. This failure was not due to excusable ignorance. They could have known him. They should have known him. It was a result of refusing to acknowledge both the sender and the sent. And in this, in spite of Jesus working his miraculous signs. Of course, when one rejects the Son, he rejects the Father also, and vice versa. They have not known. We have the complete fast failure from which, Jesus says, result in future monstrous acts. The Jews made known their own God from the thoughts of their own minds, like a pagan world around them, like the world of unbelief today. This fictitious God was one that they thought would delight in the persecution and in the destruction of the followers of Jesus. But these things, verse 4, "But these things have I spoken to you, so that when their hour comes, you remember that I told you of them. However, I did not say these things to you at the beginning because I was with you." When the fiery trial arrives, when the persecution arrives, they must never be able to say, "How strange and unexpected. Why did not the Lord prepare us for this? Why did he not warn us? Now that they have been warned beforehand, their very suffering will confirm their faith in Jesus. They will then say, if his predictions with respect to woe are being realized, those with respect to glory will also be fulfilled. To be sure, there have been predictions of coming persecution. The fact that the world hates the disciples, Jesus has chosen them out of the world. This hatred was in reality directed against Jesus and directed against the Father. It was absolutely inexcusable and was rooted in the sinister condition of their hearts, a heart that deliberately refused to acknowledge the true God. The time was actually coming when men would regard the putting to death of Christ's followers to be tantamount to an act of worship, altogether pleasing to God. These things that emphasize the forthright manner had never been revealed to the disciples before. With Jesus crucified, the Sanhedrin would begin to vent wrath upon his followers. One is reminded of Revelation 12:4, 13, and 17. First, the dragon seeks to devour the Christ child. Next, he pursues the woman who had borne the child, the Jewish nation. Angry with the woman, he makes war on the rest of her seed. For us, Jesus predicts that what the believer can expect from the world, in order that when persecution arrives, his faith may be strengthened, our faith may be strengthened instead of weakened. The persecutor would be motivated by a religious zeal, imagining by afflicting believers, he is rendering a service to his God. Actually, he does not even know God. Out of love for his disciples, Jesus has delayed as long as possible this prediction with respect to coming suffering. Catfish versus God, I'll tell you a story. The attempts to ship fresh North Atlantic cod from Boston to San Francisco during the 19th century is what I'm talking about. At that time, the only way to ship fish to the West Coast and keep them fresh was to sail around South America. Wow, a trip that took months and months. As you can imagine, the first attempts to dress the cod in Boston and pack them in ice failed miserably across the country. By the time they reached California, the fish was not exactly fit for consumption. Next, the cod were placed in holding tanks full of water, shipped to California alive, and dressed there. But the results were less than satisfactory. The fish didn't get much exercise during the trip, and as a result, they were pasty, yuck, and relatively tasteless. Finally, somebody hit an interesting idea. Why don't we put some catfish in with the cod? Why? Catfish. I didn't know that. Catfish are the cod's natural enemy. Sure enough, when if your catfish were placed in the tanks with them, the cod were always alert and swimming around. This time, when the fish reached San Francisco, they were in perfect shape. Ha ha ha. We face some opposition. We face some trial in the world. And it's good for us, actually good for us to defend our faith. Actually good for us to face a little persecution. Why? Because A, it proves to us that we're really believers if we're persecuted for our faith. B, I don't know how to say it, but it's good for us to be reminded of our tendency to sinfulness. We have to be watchful. We have to be watching out because of John 16, verse 1. We tend to use any excuse to excuse our tendency to sin. But we don't need an excuse, do we? The world tests us. The world watches us. The world is waiting for us to fail, waiting for us to make a mistake. That is the reason, one of the reasons, that we have to be watchful. We have to be mindful. We have to be avoiding the traps that the world can set for us and not be so quick to excuse ourselves. We're often critical of other people, but our sins don't seem like they're that big a deal. Sin is a big deal to God. We need to avoid it. We need to run from it. We need to avoid sin's appearance. So sin is a big deal to God. And Jesus told the disciples that the world would be watching and the world would be persecuting, and he didn't want them to be surprised, because we'll ultimately reward in heaven. You'll ultimately be kings and princes in heaven. But we aren't in heaven yet. And since we're alive, we'll be tested. Since we're alive, we'll have to watch ourselves. Since we're alive, we all always need to be reading our Bible, praying, seeking to serve God. Why? Because these build our faith. In spite of the pressure from the world, these build our faith. They're important. We need to watch out.